George Black, his new book is The Long Reckoning, a story of war, peace, and redemption in Vietnam. It is 67-68. We start with Manus Campbell, who is in Alpha Company, the 1st Battalion, 4th Marines. They are in the killing zone of several parts of the I Corps. George has mentioned Hill 674. That story stays with Manus Campbell the rest of his life, is still with him, because of the arbitrariness of death. How so, George? What does that mean to Manus Campbell?
The first big firefight was a classic. About 80% of all the military engagements in Vietnam were at the initiative of the Vietnamese, the North and the Viet Cong. And the primary tool they used was the ambush. They would set up killing zones. They would entice American patrols in. The Hill 674 was, in fact, the stronghold of the North Vietnamese military command for those two provinces we've been talking about, which they called the Tri Tien Military District, immediately south of the DMZ. So Manus's company, his whole battalion, was sent into combat against what they didn't know were some of the most tough elite units of the North Vietnamese army. And his platoon walked into an ambush. Classic, you know, they'd set up this triangle ambush. Ironically, that exact same month, part of what Chuck Searcy was doing in Saigon was writing a handbook for the intelligence command on different kinds of Viet Cong and North Vietnamese ambush techniques. Manus's company walked straight into one. He is called in to reinforce the platoon, and he's immediately thrown into this horrific firefight where the stream on which it happened is quite literally running red with blood. He shoots and kills his first man. And throughout the various subsequent firefights and large-scale engagements he went through, there were so many times where, you know, literally he would throw himself to the ground, another guy would throw himself to the ground next to him with his foot up against Manus's head, and the bullet would hit the other guy's foot. Or he would be ambushed at night, his company would be overrun by North Vietnamese regulars in the middle of the night, and his lieutenant would come running up. Manus had just dug himself a fighting hole, and the lieutenant would say, "No, you take the next one, I'll take this one." And the minute he jumps in, a shell hits it or a grenade hits it, and he's killed. And that was an experience that was so common. It had nothing to do with how good a soldier you were. It was the arbitrariness of survival and of death. And it's really the root of PTSD. It's not just the horror of combat. It's survivor guilt. Why him? Why not me?
In Saigon, the Tet Offensive is underway. The Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese have managed to gather a huge arsenal, and they mean to overrun the Americans, the embassy, and all the Americans. Chuck Searcy is awakened with his commanding officer making clear to everybody this is not a practice. The interpretation of Tet at the time was that it was a defeat for the North Vietnamese. They lost a great number of casualties. The Viet Cong never really recovered. But you make the excellent point, and I believe Mr. Searcy and Mr. Campbell agree with you, that that was the moment North Vietnam won because they lost the American public. Did Searcy and Campbell know that at the time, or was that something they learned subsequent, that the American public turned away at that moment?
Chuck was aware of it. Definitely, because, you know, the young men who were serving in the 519th Military Intelligence Battalion, they were reading the same news reports from home that everyone else was reading. They knew that something had gone horribly wrong, and they'd been asked to misrepresent how the war was going. I think if you were a combat marine up in I Corps in the mountains, Manus Campbell actually didn't get, ironically, it was the one time Manus Campbell had a fairly quiet time. He was stationed at that point in the Con Tien base, another of the really famous names of the war, which was constantly under siege. It was right on the DMZ. It was essentially a very exposed lookout post, and it was shelled and mortared constantly for months. And he was there during Tet, and actually Tet bypassed Con Tien. They went to seize the city of Dong Ha nearby, which was a big Marine combat base on the border. And they were besieging Khe San, which is about 30 miles away on the Lao border. So Manus, I don't think, was ever really aware of the political situation. The one thing he talks about a lot, which was toward the end of his tour, he was sitting on this mountaintop on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which his company had been ordered to attack and blow up this newly discovered portion of. And he hears the death. He hears about the death on Armed Forces Radio of Bobby Kennedy. And that's the moment Chuck experiences it in Saigon. Hears the same broadcast. Manus is sitting on this perilous, beautiful hilltop. Chuck is about to be demobilized in Saigon. And that's the moment, I think, when both of them say, oh, my God, what are we going back to? What's happened to the country? What has the war done to the country? They that, do, of course, was June of 68.
Yeah, they do leave May of 69. The flight out. Manus Campbell has another year left. He goes to Lejeune, and then he's in Europe, drinking heavily, starts drinking heavily.
Yeah.
And Chuck Searcy goes to Germany, and then very much likes Germany and the experience he's having, but he becomes convinced that the anti-war movement has credibility, and that will lead him to join the Vietnam Veterans Against the War, which, when we come back, we're going to turn to the significance of the anti-war movement after Tet and what it means for the investigation of the damage left behind by the American bombers and especially the herbicides. George Black is the author. The Long Reckoning is the book, a story of war, peace, and redemption in Vietnam. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.